Good morning. I'm Jake. I'm one of your coaches here at Maywood. This is Bob, one of our other coaches. And we call our main four leaders coaches because we believe that our role as ministers is to empower and equip everybody in the church to be out there on the field serving Christ, ministering for Christ. And so we're a team, and we're trying to help you guys reach your full potential. So today, we're going to be talking about a new series, Momentum. But first, let me start us off with prayer. God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for Maywood. I pray as we talk and discuss right now, God, that you would come and you would teach us, that your presence would remain here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, most of you have probably ridden bikes before. The thing that's so great about a bike compared to walking or running somewhere, the reason you can go faster on a bike and go farther on a bike than you can running is because it keeps your momentum. When you invest momentum in it, it keeps going forward. Okay, so that's the advantage of a bike, is momentum. When we think about our walk with Jesus, as we're looking at it this month, we're talking about how do we get that momentum in our relationship with Christ? How do we get that momentum in our whole life to where we're not just taking one step, but we're actually taking multiple steps with God, and that steps get easier as we make more and more good decisions? How do we keep moving forward with God? So that's our theme for the whole month. Today we're going to be talking about, you know, how do we get started with God, and what's our power source with God? So Bob's going to start us off in Galatians, if you guys want to turn there. And we've got it up here on the screen as well, Galatians chapter 5. Yeah.
I read big print. That's really big print, so that helps a lot. Let me just say, I'm still overflowing with the baptisms today. All of you who were baptized today and any Sunday, that's one of the greatest parts of my job. And so just all of you, thank God for that. I spoke at a GED graduation, not this year, but last year, and I told the folks I'm competitive. And if you've lifted weights with me, I'm still trying to be competitive. That's a little less. I'm a little less than I used to be. In fact, I'm a whole lot less than I used to be. But I'm competitive. And my biggest area of competition is for people to win. I love to see people win with all my heart, and I get emotional over it. Getting to baptize Ricky Bain and know his history with Ricky Beach, and just, I mean, that gets me. And it gets me lots of different angles and lots of different ways. I want you to win. We're going to talk about some things today that will help you win. And I pray that you'll listen. God the Spirit will speak to you, and you'll hear. Okay? So in this passage, we read this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. God has an appointment for you, all right? This is God's appointment in your life. He has called you to be free, from the oppressive laws that you might have that burden you down, to be free from the addictions that have consumed portions of your life, to be free from attitudes and thoughts that chew you up and spit you out and do the same thing to other people around you. God has called, he has put an appointment on your life. Like if my grandson yesterday, we were out running and he was running down a hill and I knew he was going to crash if I didn't call. I can't call as loud with a microphone in my hand as loudly as I called to him. He heard it, and finally he stopped before he took up some of the pavement with his knees and his chin and his little hands. You know how that is? God himself, the creator of everything, has spoken out a call to your life for you to be free, okay? The next phrase says, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. You can't live in self-indulgence and in freedom at the same time. Okay? The two don't work together. You cannot live in God's freedom and indulge yourself. Flesh is a fancy word for self-will, and you can't live there. So the answer is, Eric Gossie says it well, contrary action. Some of y'all have heard that term. Another term that I like, painter Rob told it to me, says, my brain's trying to kill me. Okay? You know what? You're not the only one. My brain's trying to kill me too. And so I cannot indulge my brain. My own best thinking won't get me where I need to be. Won't get me free. All right? Anybody? You know that? Okay. Thank you very much. And so, do what? Serve one another. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to take some time. Pull out your sermon notes and make some commitments. Want you to do some thinking here, all right? And so here, I'll give you my sermon notes, Jennifer. You got your own. Sermon notes. Pull off a page and make some commitments to yourself. Am I going to live free through self-discipline? Okay. What sort of freedom are we talking about? Think about it. What sort of freedom do you need, but you can't indulge your flesh? That means you got to discipline yourself. On the other hand, how you been doing on indulging the flesh? Do you need to move one commitment to the other side? Think about it. All right, let's go to the next section, Jake, if you would. Next verse says, for the entire law is filled in keeping one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Keep going. Thank you. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. Let's talk about this. Let's put the scorecard up there, Jake. We're going to talk about it. Jake's got some really good stuff to say, so I'm going to zip through some of this, but we got to make the point. I would encourage you, couples, friends, church members, citizens of the earth, to live your life like this. Okay? Just thought I'd conclude everybody. What is the most loving thing you can do today? And do it. Again, I'll quote my friend Eric Gossie. You've become a source of wisdom for the pastor of Maywood Baptist Church. Y'all write that down. Do the next right thing. Huh? Do the next most loving thing. You know what we tend to do? We tend to take one another's inventories and to bite and devour. We tend to stand on top of other people to make ourselves look taller. We use our words to cut and to bite rather than to build up. Quite frankly, can I be real honest with Maywood Baptist Church? We've been doing a fair amount of that recently. Okay? And so as you look at your scorecard, would you say, am I guilty? Has a preacher been listening to my phone conversations, getting in on my text messages? Does he see what's on my Facebook account? Does he know what's going on? No, but the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit's been listening in, and the Holy Spirit said to us, we ought to preach on this. All right? So as you're scoring yourself, where do you fit here? And I hope that you'll say, God, help me, please, what I'm going to hear, to move over and to be on that most loving side. What is the next right thing? What is the next most loving thing I can do? Okay? One more slide here, all right? So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Jake is going to unpack this in just a second, but I want to spend a minute on it. Bill Bright was a founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. I got to be in a prayer meeting with him once, and it was one of the highlights of my life. He was just this, I can't say he was little. He was about this tall and about that wide, you know? And just one of the most dynamic men who have ever walked on the face of the earth. I was out in Los Angeles and got to pray with him and some other just incredible people one day. And Bill Bright had a saying. His saying was this: we need to practice spiritual breathing. What is spiritual breathing? Spiritual breathing is this: I am not at any time today going to take one big, giant breath and expect that one breath to last me all day. Okay? In fact, when we baptized people, they did take a breath, but if I'd held them under longer, they would have come up for another breath, all right? Some of us think Sunday morning's all it takes. Sunday morning, I'll take one big breath, and I'll hold it until Wednesday night if I can make it. And I'll take another little breath on Wednesday night and try to make it till next Sunday. Come on. It doesn't work with breathing, and it doesn't work with God. And so walking in the Spirit is to walk every day with the Holy Spirit. And if we do, we are not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So flip the slide, Jake, one more time, and then I'm going to hand this over to you. There you go. So add it up. Where do you score? Do you practice spiritual breathing? Are you in constant contact with the Spirit of the living God? Are you drawing from His resources, not week by week, but moment by moment? Are you asking Him, sending off those little flash prayers to God, oh, God, I need you right now, all right? Are you doing that? Or, on the other hand, are you just living in self-will? That's gratifying the desires of flesh. Just figuring out your next best thought and your next best idea and your next best plan and your little brain that's working, okay? What are you doing? So Jake is going to take it from here, and he's going to talk about how we can walk in the Spirit. He's got a couple of verses to read and then some good things to show us.
Yeah, very good. So I know filling out the scorecard seems like, why do we need to actually write this down? I can figure it out myself. But actually having to write it out makes you make a decision. It makes you think, where am I really at? I got to decide. And are you at a spot where you need some improvement? So when we think about walking in the Spirit, Paul has a couple more verses for us. Here's what he talks about. He says, for the flesh, the selfish, greedy desires inside of us, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. It's this idea of God's presence that lives in us when we accept Christ. So he says, we've got kind of a war inside of us. We're pulled by God to do what's right, to do what's loving. We're pulled by our own greedy selfishness to do what's good for us and not really care about the people around us. So he says they're in conflict with each other so you're not to do whatever you want. And this last verse here, it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there's this idea that the battle inside of us, I want to do right in this moment, but then I keep doing wrong. Or why did I say that? Why did I do that thing to that person? It says if you're led by the Spirit, you don't have to make a list of all the things you're not going to do. You don't have to just grit your knuckles. It's saying if you walk with God, you're going to find that you're doing all the right things. That those things go hand in hand. That God's going to walk you to a place where you are loving other people, where it's coming from inside of you. This love is pouring out, not selfishness. So walking in the Spirit, doing the right thing, not needing a list of don'ts, but just being good with God, doing good with God, sounds pretty awesome. But I think most of us are left with this question of, well, how do you do it? It's not like, well, maybe it is a little bit like learning to walk, but we kind of don't remember how that felt when we were little babies, you know? And we think, well, how? No one's ever shown me how to walk with the Holy Spirit, how to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Most of you guys, when you come to a problem in life, I bet you don't ask a college physics professor about your problem in life. But today, with this big question, we're actually going to watch a short video of a college physics class, and I think it's got a good analogy for us of kind of how does this work? How does walking in the Spirit work? So, okay, so we actually got to go back there, Corn. So, Corn, that play button down there is for the slides, not for the video. So we got to go back one more slide, and then just hit play up higher, hopefully. Sorry, guys, we didn't have this before, but... So we're, hopefully that's going to play here for a second. I'm going to talk to us while we're waiting for that to load. So we think about walking in the Spirit, and then we've got this video of a physics class. When you're trying to learn something about God that's hard to learn, one little tip I would have, this is kind of bonus material, is just to look at life. And God can teach us through a lot of things, just like this guy right here, hopefully.
Suppose I have here a string.
That's a fantastic deal. I'm so touched by that, Jake.
Oh, it is, man. Really good.
I'm ready right now to make a decision. Let's move on. This is not going to function. Oh, wait a minute.
Okay, we're going to move on. If we can just go to this next slide. Sorry about this, guys.
It really was good in the early service. Y'all, too many of y'all have Wi-Fi on. You're stealing our signal.
Here we go, maybe. It looks like it's working.
Just like so.
Okay, we're going to go on. We're going to move on. So if we could hit that next slide, Corn Force, down there at the bottom, if you could hit the little arrow there to the right. There we go. Okay, so what happened in the video, if I could do a quick explanation, you can ask your first service friends about what happened. But and we'll post it on our Facebook group if you're part of that, so you can see it. So what happens in the video is he has a bike tire, and he has a string, and it's on a little axis. Well, if he ties the axis to the string and then lets go of the bike tire, everybody knows what's going to happen. It's just going to drop. Boom. Just like on the picture on the right-hand side there. But if he takes that bike tire and he speeds it up to where the tire is rotating really, really fast, and then he attaches its axle to the rope, it doesn't drop. In fact, it just kind of slowly twirls in an upright position as it's spinning, because it's got all that torque and momentum inside of it is actually making it rotate around. So it's a cool video because it doesn't seem like that's possible. It doesn't seem like that makes any sense. That just because it's spinning, it's able to stay up and not drop with gravity. Sorry we didn't get to see it. But my thought for us today is with that video, there's two options for that tire when it's tied to the rope. If it has power inside of it, if it's rotating internally, then it's going to stay up. But if it doesn't have any power, if it hasn't been charged up, it just drops. And in our own life, if we try to love other people by ourselves without any power inside of us, we're going to drop. Okay? But if we connect with a power beyond ourselves that revs us up on the inside, then we can stand up when it doesn't seem possible. Whenever everybody in the first service like looked at it like, what? How is that still spinning? People are going to look at your life like, what? Like, how is that guy saying something good to the person who has been so mean to them? How is that girl doing something nice for the guy that's scary and it seems dangerous? How does that daughter forgive her father after all that he did to her? So these things start to happen that aren't explainable except for that there's some sort of internal power that most people don't understand. That's keeping that love afloat. So even though we didn't really see it in the video here, which we're having all sorts of tech problems here today. Can we go to the next slide there, Corn? How do you get that power? How do you rev up on the inside? Obviously, we don't connect ourselves to some sort of machine. So how do we actually get God's power inside of us? Well, I had a friend earlier this week I was talking on the phone with, and they were talking to me about this pattern in their walk with God, and I think a lot of you will connect with it. What this guy was describing is he goes through these cycles where he messes up and kind of blows up his life, makes a mess of things, and then he turns back, he gets on his knees, just like this guy in the picture, and he's praying. And he says, God, you know, I'm a mess. Fix me. Help me. And then for a short little period of time in there, whenever he opens up the Bible or whenever he's praying, he feels so close to God. He feels like God's telling him all sorts of stuff. But then it seems like that's the end of the line. Like he has this moment of great repentance and closeness with God. And then, yeah, I see some hands going up. And then there's nothing. And then he messes up again. And he's stuck in this like rut of, I take one step with God, and then I go back. And I take one step with God, and it's great for a moment, and then I go back. And I take one step, and I'm getting tired of doing this just on the stage. And imagine if that's your life, is you get one step with God, and that's it. Why does that happen? I think a lot of people experience that in their walk with God. Why does that happen to me? Why is it just, I only am close to God, I only feel the Holy Spirit for 5 hours after I've finally turned my life around? Why does that happen to people? Well, I want to tell us a little story from my week this week. I think will help explain this. So I'm married. My beautiful wife is right over there. And, yeah, she's awesome. So everybody knows that. So Chrissy and I are happily married. Well, how does that relationship function? Well, one thing that happened this week is it's the beginning of March, and you're supposed to turn in your property tax little, here's what my property I own. You're supposed to turn that in before March, I think, actually. But we had not done it yet because it still had Chrissy's maiden name on some form, and we needed to go personally there and get it worked out. And Chrissy didn't have time to do it because of work. And so she asked me, Jake, will you take care of this? So imagine if I spent this whole week and I went to Josh Patterson and talked to him about how great Chrissy is. And I went to Gabe and talked about how great Chrissy is. And I told Natalie she should talk to Chrissy because Chrissy's really great. You know, I sang her praises all week long, and I planned out some cool thing we were going to do this weekend, some cool date. But I never went to the courthouse and got that paperwork filled out. Like, do you think Chrissy and I's relationship would take a step forward this week or a step backwards this week? So, I mean, it's pretty easy. You know, we don't need to be a physics professor to figure that one out. If somebody has asked you to do something and you don't do it, it hurts the relationship. Even if you sing their praises, even if you think of cool stuff to do with them on the weekends. When it comes to our relationship with God, I don't think we need a physics professor to come tell us something God wants you to do. I think if you spend 5 seconds thinking, what's something loving God wants me to do? I bet we all could come up with something. But if we don't do anything, then we're going to be stuck in a rut. Because see, whenever we have messed up our lives, our first step with God is to say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up, help me to do better. And so when you take that first step with God, you're walking with God for that step. And so in that moment, you're close to God. You feel God, all this internal stuff that's going on that makes it easy to love is starting to happen. But if you go the next day and you don't do step two, you don't do that good thing that he's asked you to do, then you're not walking with him anymore. You've taken a step away from him. And so that's why if you're stuck in that rut of one step forward and then that's it, that's all I ever get, it's because you haven't done step two. Step one is always to say, God, I need you. I'm not good on my own. But step two, three, four, five, six, seven, 3,000, it's to do the next right thing. It's to do that loving thing that God's laid right in front of you. And it's different for every person in here. That's why the Bible tells us that there's not a law that we're under. You know, it's not that every single person in here needs to go take someone who's lonely out to lunch. But maybe somebody does. Maybe that's your next step with God, okay? And if you guys don't take those steps, you're just going to be stuck in that cycle. And you're just going to drop like that wheel in the video that we didn't see. So here's my last thought for us today is how do we keep the momentum? The awesome thing about movement is once you're moving, it takes force to stop. If you go home this afternoon and do step number two, you actually say, God, I want to do something loving because I care about you. It's going to be a little easier to do step three on Monday, something loving, because God wants you to do it. It's going to be a little easier on Tuesday to do step four, whatever that is. A little easier on Wednesday to do step five. But if you start missing steps, if you say, well, I'm going to take Tuesday off from God. I'm going to just be selfish today. I'm busy. I'm tired. I'm hangry. Whatever's going on, you know. Then you got to start all over again. You got to start the momentum back up. So this whole month, we're going to be talking about momentum. We're going to give you some real practical steps of how do you figure out what God wants you to do and move forward with it. But you probably already have enough to get started today. You already know the first six or seven things that God wants you to do. It's just do something loving this afternoon. Do something that God's laid on your heart tomorrow. Again, it starts with that step one, though. If you haven't done step one, you won't get anywhere. If you haven't said to Jesus, Jesus, I've made mistakes. You know how to do it better than I do. Show me how to do my life. That's step one. And then we walk out of here and we do step two. It's a really simple formula, but not a lot of people do it. A lot of people get stuck in that rut of, why is my relationship with God not close? Why can't I hear God speak? Why is it so hard to love my family members? Why is it so hard to do the right things, to get over sinful addictions? Well, if you're not doing the things that God told you to do, you're not going to have that close relationship with Him. So we're going to have our worship team come up. This is a time to respond. It is a time to sing praises to God. It's a time to come down here and pray and say, God, I want to live life with you. But if you're here today and you already know what step two is, and if you're honest with yourself and you're thinking, I'm not going to do step two. I'm too lazy to go help my neighbor, or I'm too scared to go do this thing. It's okay to just tell that to God in this moment. This is a time of honest response. And if you honestly aren't going to go out here and do some steps with God, at least share that with God about, this is too hard. If you bring your real heart before God, God can work with that. But if you kind of go into autopilot and just say, well, I'm going to go through the motions of singing songs about loving Jesus, that doesn't help anybody. So let's stand and let's be honest with God in this time. Jesus, I thank you for today. God, I pray that you would be with us as we respond. God, show us step one. Show us step two with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.